All of Philemon, which is 25 verses. Okay. Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Aphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving and prayer. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Paul's plea for Onesimus. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greeting, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen.
I need to refer to my notes, because at my maturity, sometimes a little bit forgetful, but, you know, anyway. Firstly, greetings from my church family at St. Giles Christian Mission. Sure, we'll be praying for you, and we'll continue to pray for the work here at East Finchley. So, tick, that's done. Just before we start, just going to say a few things. So, I'm Windsor. I learnt recently, a few years ago, that Windsor's actually a girl's name, you know, going back years, but I didn't know that. But fortunately, Windsor's been really blessed by being married to Alison for 27 years now? Yeah. The thing is, I have ideas above my station, so I need to be reminded of, you know, who we are in our relationship. But I thank God because of his faithfulness. And it's great singing about how great our God is in his faithfulness to us. But just before we start, I want to read just a little story that I stumbled across, and it might help as we consider God's word a little bit later. And it's called The Plodders, The Plodders. And it says this: when William Carey began thinking of going to India as a pioneer missionary, his father pointed out to him that he possessed no academic qualifications that would fit him for such a task. But Carey answered, "I can plod." How true it is that God accomplishes mighty things for his kingdom through those who are willing to persevere, who are willing to plod faithfully through one difficulty after another in the power of the Spirit. And my prayer for you, and even for me, is that we'll be people that will plod. We won't worry about those great things that that can be achieved. We'll just be plodders, faithful to our Lord and our Saviour. So just a short story there about plodding, I guess. So just going to open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get on with what the Lord, I hope, wants me to share this morning. So let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to praise you because you are worthy of our praise. We do thank you, dear Father, for your love and kindness to us, your children. We do thank you, dear Father, that we can be found in your presence, even here this morning. We do thank you that we have this opportunity of being able to have fellowship one with another, that we can rejoice and praise you together as the church body here at East Finchley. We do praise you, dear Father, for helping us through the week that's passed. With whatever we've had to contend with, dear Lord, we just thank you that you were with us each step of the way. We do thank you, dear Father, for those things that we struggled with. We do thank you, dear Father, for the joy that we have in knowing you. We do pray, dear loving Father, you might just help us to continue to be people that will cling to you as we strive to honor you. We might be people that will continue to strive to search for you, that you might be our Lord and Savior. So, our loving Father, as we gather this morning, we do pray that by your Spirit, you will just speak to our hearts, even my own stubborn heart, dear Father, that you might teach me, teach us through your word. In Jesus' worthy name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this morning I'm not going to preach from the whole book of Philemon because, one, I'm pretty lazy, but two, I thought we'd focus on just the first seven verses this morning. But just a little bit of context first. In the first century AD, Colossae was a second-rate market town in Asia Minor, and that is present-day Turkey. Just a minor second-rate market town. We are all probably familiar with the background of Philemon. You know, thank you for reading that earlier. Well, Philemon, he was a believer. He was a Christian, but he was also a slave owner in Colossae. He had a slave called Onesimus, who may have stolen from him, we're not quite sure, but he did run away. So Onesimus left his master, Philemon, and ran away. But somehow in the Lord's grace, Onesimus, if he was caught, the Roman law said he would be punished by death for stealing, for running away as a slave. But on his travels, Onesimus met Paul and became a Christian under Paul's ministry. And Paul's letter in Philemon here, it encourages Philemon, you know, his owner, to be reconciled with Onesimus, not as a slave owner, but as someone that would be useful, a Christian brother. So that's the basis for the letter. And if you look down at verse 11, we read there, "Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me." And that's the change that our Heavenly Father can make in our lives. Of course, we can be proud. We can think that we've got it made. We think we have all the answers, but in some respects, we're not much better than useless. But in God's mercy, he wants us to be useful as his people. He wants us to lean on him. So It's a blessing that despite Onesimus running away, God had a plan for his life. And I believe he has a plan for all of our lives to make us useful for him. So I said I was going to focus on just the first few verses, first seven verses. Now, in my studies, when I was preparing, several commentators, you know, people that understand the Bible much better than I do, they suggested that Philemon, yep, he's a slave owner, but they indicated that Apphia was probably Philemon's wife. They also indicated that Archippus was probably their son. So there we have Philemon, Apphia, and Archippus. You know, a family. And what I'm going to suggest to us all here this morning is that that is the case, that they are a family in Colossae, striving to serve the Lord. And so, for me and for us this morning, what I'd like us to understand is that Philemon models for us a faithful Christian family and a faithful church family. What I'd suggest this morning is that Philemon models for us a faithful Christian family and a faithful Christian church family. So that's what I'd like us to focus on for this next few moments. So if you could just look down to verse 2. And to the church that meets in your home. So I take from that, and we can take from that, that Philemon, the church, met in his home. They hosted a church in his home. Now, I'm not sure how large your homes are, but we could squeeze this many into our homes possibly, but none of us, I hope. Does anyone have a palace, a mansion? But our homes aren't necessarily the biggest of places. But in serving God, Philemon opened his home for a church to reside there. And I'm suggesting to you, it wasn't very big. I'm suggesting to you this morning that it might have been as big as we are today at a push. You know, not much bigger than we are. Churches don't need to be huge buildings or huge congregations. Churches are where two or three gather together. So what I'm suggesting this morning is that it's fantastic that whatever your size as a church, that you're there to worship God together, and he honors that irrespective of the size of a church. But moving on, the book of Colossians, because that's where things are taking place, the book of Colossians indicates that the church had its struggles. Paul is writing to combat heresy, false teaching, in the book of Colossians. And there were two forms of heresy that were happening. And one of them was this extreme Judaism. And it was emphasizing the importance of the strict rules of the law, emphasizing what you should or shouldn't eat, emphasizing the religious festivals, emphasizing circumcision, as opposed to emphasizing what was really important, to know the Lord as their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was also something called Gnosticism, which I can hardly say, that it presented a self-centered alternative to the gospel. Instead of pointing to Christ, it claimed that salvation comes from the inside, from finding true identity within ourselves. So there were two types of things that weren't helpful for the church in Colossae at this time. So what I'd say to us all this morning, and I'd also say to my church family at St. Giles, if there are areas in which you're struggling as a church, that's okay. Churches struggle. I'm sure that, you know, a church that doesn't at this moment in time have a pastor might have had a bit of tension. There might have things that are unsettling, but it's okay. Even though you may not have someone here at the moment, this is still Christ's church. This is still God working in you and through you for his glory. And at the appropriate time, we pray that he will bring you the servant that will lead this work here. So my message to us here this morning, if you're struggling as a church, if you're struggling individually in areas of your own lives, that's normal. Yeah? That's normal. It's not a comfortable place to be in at times, whatever your struggles are. It's not comfortable. It can be unsettling. But in those times, we look to God, who's greater than our struggles, who's greater than those things that we worry about, that we're concerned about. So my message to us all this morning, it's okay to struggle. It's okay. Hopefully those struggles will help us to cling to God even more tightly. Cling to what we know from his words even more tightly. Cling to each other in our struggles, because struggling by yourself isn't a great place to be in. I believe that we need the body. We need the church family. We need each other so that we might persevere and get beyond our struggles. And once we're through, whatever that struggle is, remember, praise God. Thank God for he was there in our struggles. So I'll say it again, because I need to remind myself, I'm going to struggle. I'm not going to like it. I'm going to find it hard work. But praise God, I'm not in it alone. Praise God, we are not in our struggles by ourselves. We continue to support, love, and care for each other. So it's okay to struggle. As we move on, my hope is for our churches that we would be like the Bereans, because even though there was this heresy, these false teachers within the church, I pray that as a church here at East Finchley, that you might be like the Bereans. And I call them out because it's fantastic. In Acts chapter 17, we read this in verse 11. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Let's strive to be like the Bereans. Let's strive to be like the Bereans. You know, we know that no earthly church is perfect. Sorry, let me just check. Is this a perfect church? Okay, sorry, that's really unfair. St. Giles isn't a perfect church. I can tell you that for now. We have our challenges. I'm probably one of them at times, but there are no perfect churches. But as members of our churches, we have a responsibility in building our church to examine and to test what is preached, to make sure that it's true, to make sure that it's faithful to what the Bible is teaching us. Now, for me, because I'm going to speak for myself again, this doesn't come easy to us. It doesn't come easy to me. In some respects, don't tell anyone, I can be lazy. I can be lazy. I can sit in a service sometimes, listen to what's preached, and then forget it a few minutes later. I can be lazy. And what I'm saying to me, possibly to you this morning, is that the times that we spend around God's word are precious times. They are really precious times, because God wants to use these to build us up as his people. They are precious times for us to understand what God wants us to learn, to understand how we might draw closer to our Heavenly Father, that we might be sanctified as his people. It's more important that we have these precious times in our personal Bible study, in our Bible studies, or even as we gather here this morning. It's more important that we have those times than times with our hobbies, times vegging out in front of a good book or a TV program or whatever it might be. These are precious moments when we come under the sound of God's word, whether personally in our own quiet times or as a church family. But moving on, because if you look down to verse 1, we read there, to Philemon, our dear friend. To Philemon, our dear friend. And Paul was writing to Philemon, who he found to be a friend. We need to develop, we need to nurture good Christian friendships inside the church and also outside the church family. Just as Philemon had with Paul and Timothy and others. It helps us if we have good Christian friendships, good Christian relationships. It's helpful if those can be within the church. If you're having fisticuffs with each other, you know, after the Sunday service, not a healthy place to be in. But seek friendship, nurture your friendships, spend time to get to know each other. Once again, it doesn't mean you have to share all of your secrets with each other, yeah? You can share those with the friends that you trust, but nurture friendship within the church, and that will help your church to grow. Verses 1b and 2, we read there about Philemon being fellow worker to Paul, or Archippus being a fellow soldier. Those are two things that are called out in verses 1 and 2. As a faithful Christian family or church family, we are fellow workers. We are fellow soldiers. That is what we are, serving our Savior for his glory. We're there to share the message of salvation to a sinful world. That's what we're called to do as the Lord's people, to be fellow workers. Not to be like me sometimes, a fellow that would sit back and be lazy. We're there to be fellow workers, to be fellow soldiers. We're there to serve God in building his church for his glory. We're there to defend each other in the faith. If someone's struggling, we're there to be there for them. If someone's joyful, we can rejoice with them. We're there for God's glory. We're there to, as fellow workers, to honor God in the way that we live. Now, I don't know. I don't know the church family here. I don't know if some here aren't sure whether they're Christians or not. But what I would say to you this morning is that if you're not sure that you are a Christian, you know, remember that the gospel teaches that God sent his Son to pay for our sins, for the sins of those that trust in what Jesus did through his sacrifice, his death, and his resurrection. God sent his Son to do this for a people that are lost in their sin. That's why Jesus came, that we might put his trust in him. You know, as Christians, once again, speaking for myself, as Christians, I'm only a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by God's grace. You know, I'm very much a work in progress. I very much have lots of rough edges that need to be smoothed off by God's word, by the body, by my Christian family. I'm very much a work in progress. And I need the help of the church body to grow. And I believe that you may also need that as well. We accept who we are. We accept that we sin. We accept that when we sin, we need to confess our sins and put things right. It's important if we are to grow as a church family that we do these things. We accept that we're a work in progress. And in his grace, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, pray, continue to seek him. Pray that he'll reveal himself to you through his Spirit, whether that's today or, if you're not quite sure, later. But keep seeking God that he might reveal himself to you for his glory. Just moving on again. In verse 4, if you look down there, we read, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. As a faithful Christian family, or as a church family, we praise God in our prayers, and as we pray for our families, as we pray for our friends, we should even pray for our enemies, that we might also be friends. But it's really helpful because the Bible says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with other people. So if you strive to be friends with your enemies and they don't reciprocate that, they don't want to be your friends, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. You know, it's okay to not be friends, but you don't have to dislike people because they're not your friends. But pray for those that you struggle to get on with, because that's what our God wants. Pray for each other, because that's what our God wants. You know, pray for our fellow workers, that we might be built up in our faith. So just moving on, because what types of things can we pray for? Should we be praying for? And in verse 5, we move on, and it says, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that God will give us a love for each other. I pray that God would give us a love for our church families. That's something that for us to pray about. That's something that we should continue to pray about, that we will love one another, that we might continue to grow as a church, that we might continue to grow as a church family, that we might continue to trust in our God. In verse 6, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. As Christians, how do we grow? As Christians, how do we grow? Now, my simplistic answers are, we grow together in studying God's word together. I think I've touched on that a little bit earlier. We grow together by studying God's word together. We also grow as we get to know the joy of the Lord in our lives. The Lord gives us joy. The Lord helps us with his joy. Even when things are tough for us, we can grow as we remember the joy of our Lord. We remember our position as the Lord's people. We're no longer condemned because of our sins. We're no longer in that position where our eternity will be without our Heavenly Father, because we, as Christians, are the Lord's people. He has chosen us. Of all the sinners in all the world, over all of time, God, in his mercy, in his grace, chose us to be his people. Isn't that something to be joyful about? He chose us. And shouldn't our prayer be that he might also choose those that we are praying for? Shouldn't that be also part of our prayer lives, that we might grow as Christians? If we want to grow, we need to continue to struggle as we struggle to conquer our sinful natures. Unless we battle, go into battle, we read earlier about fellow soldiers, unless we go into battle each day against our sinful natures, then we'll be much weaker in our witnesses as the Lord's people. Each day is a battle. I need to remember that. I shouldn't be complacent in remembering that, oh, it's another day. I can just breeze through it, not worry about acknowledging God. I've got enough knowledge and strength to cope with the events of the day. How wrong I can be. I need the grace of my God to contend with the struggles of each day. I can't do that by myself and honor God. I can't do that without a church family that I know is upholding me and I upholding them in prayer. But we need to struggle. We need to persevere as the Lord's people. We need to, as I said earlier, we need to confess our sins to God and ask him for God's forgiveness. asking our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord for their forgiveness, or being prepared to forgive each other. When we're wronged, not nice, is it? When we're wronged, when we feel set upon, our first reaction may not be to forgive. And be careful here, that might be okay. Our first reaction, we might need a little bit of time to get over that smite, that slur. Okay, give it a little bit of time, but ultimately, we need to forgive. You know, how can't we forgive when our Lord and our Savior has forgiven us so much? We need to forgive each other. In what I've just read in verse 6, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective. To live lives that honor God, we must recognize that we are in partnership. We are in a partnership with each other. We're dependent on each other to be effective. You know, there's that phrase, no man's an island, as it were. I don't believe that God created us to live by ourselves on an island, looking up at the sky, thinking that's nice. I don't believe that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be dependent upon him, but also to depend on each other, that we might grow as his people, that we might be effective in serving our Heavenly Father, you know, that we might be witnesses. It's fantastic. It's really fantastic when maybe you have someone come into your church family. They don't know you from anyone. And maybe after one or two meetings, they stay. They become part of your church family. And that's fantastic, because that isn't because I smile nicely. That isn't because I say hello. It's because God is working through you as a church to draw them by his Spirit into your church family for his glory. It is through the work of the Spirit that churches grow, that we are effective. Not our own efforts, we're just asked to be faithful. We're just asked to be faithful. And through the Spirit, he will bring the increase. He will bring the growth in our church family. Being in partnership as a church, to me, sounds like being a family that grows together. Now, can't speak for you. Families can be tricky things. You know, hopefully, that's not the case, but can be tricky things. They don't always get on, you know. It's not always a comfortable place to be, but we're still family. And we need to forgive each other. We need to put behind us those things that we struggle with, that we might grow as a family. Wow, we're into verse 7. I think we're nearing the end, so. But verse 7. We read there, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Paul commends Philemon's example for the joy and encouragement of his home church, or the home church. I said earlier that maybe no bigger than we are here today. Paul was encouraged from what he heard of the church in Colossae, what he heard was going on through Philemon, Apphia, Archippus, and the church there. It was a great example of a small church thriving, despite the struggles, striving to honor God. And that's where I trust you at East Finchley, almost forgot, that you at East Finchley are striving to honor God as a small church. My prayer for the church here, the church family here, is that you will continue to grow in refreshing each other's hearts as the Lord's people. But that's where you'll be as you contend for the Lord here. And then just to end, in Colossians 4, we read this about Archippus. See to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. And my prayer for you here this morning is that you will continue to contend for the Lord, continue to strive to be faithful, a small faithful church for God's glory. And that's what you're doing. Do you know why I know that? The reason I know that is because the doors were open this morning. They weren't shut. It was an opportunity for you to gather and to build each other up this morning for our God's glory. So just to close, I'm just going to read something called Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant. A veteran missionary was returning home to the US after several terms on a field, on the mission field. Aboard a ship bound for New York Harbor, an agnostic challenged him by pointing out the futility of giving one's life to missionary service. He continued by noting that no one on board the ship was paying any attention to the veteran missionary, a sign that apparently considered his efforts were quite wasted. The servant of God responded, "I'm not home yet." The agnostic assumed the missionary was referring to a large crowd that would meet the ship, and he scoffed again when they disembarked. Not a solitary person welcomed the missionary. Once again, the missionary said, "I am not home yet." A lonely train ride lay ahead as he made his trek from New York to a small Midwest hometown. Reaching his destination, the missionary could no longer hold back the tears as the train pulled off. Again, he stood alone. It was then that the inner voice of God's Spirit brought comfort by reminding the faithful servant, "You're not home yet." And that's our message for us today. We're still on a journey. We're still a work in progress. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, our home is secure. You're not home yet. But it awaits you, that we might honor our Heavenly Father. Our loving Lord, we just thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, dear Father, for building your church through your faithful servants here. We do pray, dear Father, you will just help us in our struggles. You will help us to build each other up. Help us to contend and pray for each other, dear Father. Help us to share the joys that we have with one another. We do pray, dear Father, that as we strive to grow and honor you, that other people might see your good deeds through our lives and praise you. So we just thank you, dear Father, because we are part of the church and the work here. And we do pray, dear Father, you will continue to use us to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.